And it is time to talk Cal Bears. Our guest once roamed these very streets and airwaves here in Eugene, made his way to the Bay Area. He'll be part of the radio coverage with Joe Starkey and crew on the Bears Sports Network. Follow him on Twitter. Use the handle at Todd McKim Sports. Todd McKim, it has been a while, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Steve?
All is well. All is well.
Good.
We are now year four under Sonny Dykes. He's gone from a win to 5-8 last year. They won a bowl game for the first time since 2008. Of course, they lost Jared Goff. The media poll had them in front of only Oregon State in the North. But from your chair, if you think back to before the season started with the non-conference games, San Diego State, Texas, some tough games in the Pac-12 North, what did you expect from this team heading into this year?
I expected them probably to be picked exactly where they ended up being in the preseason poll, fifth. It was tough to see them being better than the four teams ahead of them. And at the time, it looked like they were going to be better than Oregon State. Now, Oregon State beat Cal a couple of weeks ago, so a feather in the cap for the Beavers there, no question. But when you look at the rest of the season, especially with Oregon State's quarterback situation, it might be tough for them to win games down the stretch. Not to say that they won't, but it's going to be tough. And for Cal, you know, we've got a couple of surprising wins over Texas and Utah, a couple of surprising losses to San Diego State and Oregon State. So in some respects, you're kind of where a lot of people thought they'd be.
Yeah, just kind of a different path. I remember reading around the time of Media Day in August, they were talking about Chase Forrest as quarterback. There was a redshirt in the mix. But, of course, it ended up being the Texas Tech transfer, Davis Webb. He's now dealing with a hand injury. He had a couple of games where he threw some bad interceptions at San Diego State, Arizona State. So how is he health-wise? And, Todd, how would you evaluate his performance halfway through this year?
For the most part, he's been outstanding. Other than Jake Browning and maybe Luke Falk at Washington and Washington State, he's had the best year among Pac-12 quarterbacks. He's got a big arm. I mean, he's very similar to Jared Goff in that regard, to make all the throws. He's a tape room junkie, looking at tape all the time. He's very smart, very well-respected on the football team, despite the fact he'd only been on campus for about 4 months. He was voted one of their six captains, and by far and away got the most votes in that race for captaincy. So, well-respected, big-time NFL talent, suffered that hand injury against Oregon State, but has thrown the ball well in practice this week, so he'll be ready to go tomorrow night.
All right, we continue with Todd McKim, Cal Bear Sports Network. You know, I mentioned the injury issues at quarterback, and early in the game at Corvallis 2 weeks ago, Vic Enweri hurt his foot, and then yesterday they announced he's done for the year. So what kind of blow is that to the offense, and who are the guy or guys we should keep an eye out for running the ball?
Well, it's been a three-headed running back by committee so far this year, and Vic was by far and away the biggest of the three players. He was about 230, 225, 230. So he's more of a power back. The other two guys, smaller, faster, no question about that, a little more elusive as well. And you could see that in the game against Oregon State, where both Kalfani Muhammad and Trey Watson set career highs in that game, each of them over 120 yards rushing. So they're certainly capable. They just don't have that big back in short yardage or down by the goal line.
From last year's team, they lost six different receivers who all had at least 40 catches. I read that, and I was like, that's an amazing statistic. And the top returning guy, Chad Hansen, had his ankle rolled in the Oregon State game. I read he walked out of Reser Stadium in a boot. So what is his status? And I guess how is the receiving core halfway through the year, considering such limited experience?
Yeah, good point. He was actually carted out of the stadium and then walked to the bus. And since then, you know, they've been trying to rehab. He has done some practicing this week. And, you know, he's one of those guys that you hear this all the time, a game day, game time decision. So we'll have to wait until tomorrow night. He could play, but it's not going to be 100%, and I don't see him getting 60 or 65 snaps either. But he's a weapon. He's been probably the biggest surprise this year on the team. Because he has blossomed. He was named to a number of the midseason All-American teams. He's had a terrific year and certainly has NFL potential as a junior. The rest of the receiving core is very young. to tell you honestly, a lot of freshmen, true freshmen, who I think are going to be really good, but they've gone through growing pains. They've made big plays. Now, Keith Stovall is a real talent in the slot. Demetrius Robertson is a big-time talent at a wide receiver position on the outside. He's got great speed, kind of has a mature body for a freshman. But they've been in a situation like a lot of freshmen. They might run the wrong route every once in a while, so a pass that ends up in the first row of the team that looks like, well, where in the world is the quarterback throwing the football? Actually might have been receiver, not going to the right spot. So they've had growing pains, but all in all, I think they've responded very well through the first six games.
Now, obviously, a lot starts with the Bear Raid up front. Last year, Sonny Dykes brought in Brandon Jones, who had a really good resume, had worked in the Big 12, kind of an up-and-coming line coach. They brought both their starting tackles back, along with the left guard. The only loss was Jordan Rigsby. So how have the new guys like center Addison Ohms gelled, and how's that line performing this year?
Yeah, I think all in all, they've actually performed very well. The running game has been a little spotty at times, but some of that was based on the competition. Like San Diego State, they do so many strange things defensively up front that the Bears decided they were going to throw the ball in that game and not try to run the football. So they ran it well against Oregon State. They've run it well at certain times of the year. They ran it well, fairly well against Texas when they sealed the game by getting a first down and then what looked like a touchdown but ended up at the one-yard line and where he dropped the football. So it's been pretty good against the run. They've been actually really good against the pass. I mean, you think about this, Steve. California has thrown the ball 302 times this year. You know, the Ducks have thrown it a little over 100 total.
Wow.
So when you look at that, they've only allowed 10 sacks. That's one sack every 30 attempts. That's a really good percentage. So they've done a nice job in that department. They've kept Davis Webb pretty clean most of the year. So I think the offensive line, all in all, has probably been the strength of the team so far this season.
We're talking Cal football with Todd McKim, who will be working the sidelines, part of the Cal Bears Sport Network coverage. The Cal defense, you know, they've had some vulnerable moments. Oregon State's offense, you know, had their best game of the year against them, allowed a bunch of points in four of the other five games. You know, Art Kaufman now, the third year as the coordinator. They improved last year, and they definitely took a hit with graduation. But, you know, they made a great stand in the Utah win. What do you like about this defense?
What do I like?
He who hesitates.
we have been able to put 11 players on the field for each play.
Okay. Nice.
So that's a positive. You know, it's been a struggle, Steve, especially against the run. They just have not been able to hold up against the run. That does not bode well this week against the Ducks because they're going to run the football. They always do. They always have, and they always will. Under this current system, that's a huge concern. The one thing they did last year, Steve, that helped them improve is they took the ball away. They were plus in the turnover margin, were really good at this, you know, stripping and also getting interceptions. That kind of made them look like they were improved, but this year they've struggled. I mean, it's so bad, Steve. And I talk about 11 guys getting on the field. Since spring football, they've lost 7 of their top 8 safety.
Wow.
That's 7 guys at one position that will not be available to play tomorrow. They lost a guy a couple of weeks ago just in practice, backpedaling in a drill and tore an Achilles. So it's been one of those years where mostly all the injuries have come at one position that happens to be at the safety spot.
Wow, that's a new one. One final thought, Todd. You know, you worked here a lot of years. We know what Duck football became. Then this season, after a couple of close losses, got smoked late at Washington State. And, of course, it all came unglued against the Huskies last week. From what you've had a chance to see, hear, or read, I guess, kind of what are the impressions from your end of what kind of maybe challenge Oregon will present or what kind of team they're going to run out there?
Well, first of all, I think they still have really good talent, and they're really athletic, and they have a system. They do have some youngsters playing the offensive line, so that takes a while. You have 4, you know, freshmen in the offensive line. It's going to take a while for those guys to gel. Obviously, at quarterback, they don't have Marcus Mariota, okay, and they don't have Vernon Adams. So that's been a position where they're now in a little bit of flux. I like Herbert. Comes from great stock, obviously, from the Sheldon program, Elaine Johnson. So he's going to be a really good player, I think. And watching him against Washington, I thought he was pretty composed based on the opposition he was going against. They're still really good at the running back position. They have really good wide receivers. They've hurt themselves with penalties, and they've been behind in games, so they've had to play a different kind of game maybe in years past as well, where they're trying to milk the ball and keep the ball on the ground. Now they've been behind in a few games, and that changes how you approach things. Defensively, they've got some youth back there, obviously. They've had some coaching turnover there as well. But they've got athletes, and once those guys figure it out, they're going to be a good football team. And the other thing to consider is the four teams they've lost to are good football teams. Three of them are in the top 25 this week, right?
Colorado, yeah, absolutely.
Washington, and Nebraska. You got two teams are in the top 10. So it's not like they've lost to the little sisters of the poor, but they definitely just have not played up to what looks like their potential with a new defensive scheme this year.
Well, I'll tell you, Todd, I think the folks around here just naturally appreciated an injection of optimism, which has kind of been lacking around here. But great observations and information as always. It's always fun catching up, Todd. Let's make a date to talk during basketball season. Thank you so much for your time, and you enjoy the rest of your weekend.
I'll try, Steve. Thanks for calling. Good talking to you at all times.
All right, take it easy.